I believe we need to turn back over to Philippians chapter 1. And I am trusting the Lord that we're going to enjoy this tonight. And these nuggets of glory in Philippians, they just get more incredible all the time. And I'm thankful to Jesus for them. But reading from the 25th verse in the first chapter of Philippians, Paul says this, "And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again." Now, we've been sweetly studying and rejoicing in this precious letter. And we know that Paul is writing this letter, which is known as the Joy Book of the Bible. And he's writing this Joy Book of the Bible, and we know who it's to. It's to these Philippian saints. And these Philippian saints happen to be fully purposed saints. If you will, they are the Philadelphia saints that are in Philippi. And he's writing this around the year 62 AD. So in 62 AD, they believe he wrote this letter from that prison to these people. Now, Paul's going to be released from this prison. He doesn't die here. He's going to be released, and when the Lord appoints that time, which will be shortly after he writes this letter, by the way, he's going to go on his fourth and last missionary journey, right after he's released here, okay? But that's only going to last a couple years, because then he's going to be back in prison again. And he's going to be in that prison for a couple years, and then he's going to be executed. And he's going to be face to face with Jesus Christ. So that's basically, if you will, a period of 4 years from when he writes this letter to when he's seeing Jesus face to face. And basically, he's only released out of this prison for 2 years. And when he's released from this prison, after he's written this letter, it's not for certain, it's never stated anywhere for certain that he made it back to Philippi. There's an assumption that he did, but they really don't know. But with all of that said, how can Paul really make the statement that we just read where he says, "I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith"? And here's why I ask that question. Because if you go in here and start really looking what he's saying here, this word abide is not just to visit. This word abide actually means to stay with and continue with. In a sense, it even means to live with and never leave. And never leave. And yet Paul is staying, as we know and we just said, he's going to be freed from this prison. He's going to have 2 years. If he went back to Philippi, it was only for a brief moment. So all I can say, it's very evident here, this wasn't about Paul physically being anywhere. It's completely about Paul's gospel spiritually being somewhere. Amen? Yeah, amen. And why not? Because it all is. It all is. This is spiritual, praise be to God. And I'm so thankful that this letter to the Philippian saints is alive right now to us. Amen. It's just as if this letter was written at this moment and we just received it. And that's the truth. That's how alive the word of his grace is. And I'm talking about written and alive today to the same Philadelphia saints that by the grace of God aren't just occupying over there at Philippi at this time in history, but the Philadelphia saints that are occupying right here in the Denver metro area and online tonight, praise God, and rejoicing in Paul's gospel. That's how real this is. That are rejoicing and abiding and alive and encouraged by the same sergeant at arms, the Apostle Paul. Can you hear him? Can you hear this? Praise the Lord. And this is the Holy Ghost through Paul. We know that. Because it's the word of the Lord. This isn't just a letter. This is a Holy Ghost letter. This is a Holy Ghost joy, love letter. And this is the only thing that will go on forever and ever and ever and ever. Praise his name. Now, Paul's intent, as we know, was far beyond his physical presence because, once again, abiding, enduring, and living together is all about our life with Paul's gospel. It's not about Paul, it's about Paul's gospel. It's not about the vessel Paul, it's about the treasure in the earthen vessel. Amen? Praise the Lord. This letter, we know, is alive right now in the believers that are continuing in Paul's gospel. And that gospel, praise God, abides in us. That gospel endures in us. And hallelujah, it's living together in us today. This is what he was speaking of. Where are we? What's living in us? What are we abiding? What's enduring in our lives? What is our life all about? Is it about the one thing? Are we truly partakers of Paul's grace? Because if we are, I'll tell you what, this is going on. There can't be anything else because this is what Paul knows. And I love this. I know, he says, to those hearts that are partakers of my grace, I know my gospel shall abide, endure, and live in you. Did you hear that? That's why he knows. Because we go back to the beginning of why he knew that they received. We go back to the beginning of why the Holy Ghost could announce to these wonderful saints the good work which he's begun. He will perform it to that day. There's the assurance. It's the assurance of that grace. That's why Brother Paul said, I'm so glad I didn't make the grace of God vain in my life. Amen. The Lord gave it to me, but I didn't make it empty. He poured it forth, and by the grace of God, I took more. He poured out the whole counsel, and his grace encouraged me. Oh, it's mine, because grace has told me this is mine. Praise the Lord. He goes on to say in such boldness, if anybody would come here and preach anything else to you, including me. So again, he's discounting even who he was. But he's not discounting what he was given. Because he was given that message, that bridal gospel message that was hidden, the mystery that the sons of men, the prophets of old, they wanted to look into, but as it was said, they wrote those things for us. Opened up to us through a vessel who happened to be called the chief of sinner. So even if you're number two of the chiefs, you still got it all there. And you got to get behind me because I'm two. Because I believe the word of God. Paul said he was the chief. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you grateful how he's brought us this way? This is as exciting as it was for each individual that God dealt with in the Word of God in those moments. Don't discount what he's doing and where we're at in this time that we're at. And who God is dealing with. You. And it came and poured forth, and ones in your family even, and all that. And it's not that you're better. Not at all. Matter of fact, you realized how wretched you were, or you couldn't receive this. The great mercy and the great grace. Yeah. He's authoring and finishing Paul's gospel that will complete him. And that time that shall be no more is going to end. And it's going to end in that moment and it's gone. It's just like with Noah. It ended in that moment and they were gone and everybody, it was gone. Every time God dealt with who he was going to deal with, it was a moment in time, a monumental moment. Are you there? Because it's never stopped. The word of God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't do it any differently. I'm seeing it like I've never seen it before. I see it, hallelujah, that my goodness, as he dealt with David, as he dealt with Moses, but even more because we have a better thing. It's exciting. But this is what only the partakers of Paul's grace will receive. This is why Paul, in that great grace, the Lord took him. Where did he take him? To that place, that third heaven. Hallelujah. Oh, and he saw that man. And I'll tell you what, partakers of Paul's grace, you've seen that man. Yes, you have. She's a bride adorned. She descends from heaven having his glory. You've seen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, Paul knows this. And Paul knows this because this is the partakers of grace. And with all grace, full grace, nothing but grace, you are living and abiding and thriving in Paul's gospel. Because that's the only place that all grace will take you and what all grace will perform in you. Oh, yes. That's what all grace does. It can't do anything but. Because grace begets grace. You're going to have more grace. And he'll continue to pour on that grace. Because he says, I've given you all grace. Amen? We have been given all grace. We've been given grace for grace, which is all grace. So it never ends. It's just exceeding. So why do you want to pursue anything but the grace of God? Why would I want to come to him in any way, shape, or form that I merited a thing from him? God forbid we would. Once again, why I said to only be found in his righteousness. Amen. Because mine will only defeat me. Mine will only, again, you'll never diminish what that grace is, but you'll never fully enter into it unless it's all grace. Praise the Lord. And I believe we are beginning to really appreciate that, aren't we? So, in abiding and enduring and living in us, it's the gospel of full grace that takes us on. And that's what this word, as you look back in our text, he says, I know that I shall abide and I shall continue with you. What? All, and that was all. It wasn't just a select. All that were receiving this, all that were partakers of the grace, for your furtherance and joy of faith. See, we have a joy in believing, don't we? Oh, yeah. Even when we hit hardships. Because partakers of Paul's grace realize it's not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Partakers of Paul's grace have a full joy. That's all that can happen. It's full and overflowing. And this furtherance means to progress. It means to profit. It never stops. Partakers of Paul's grace never stop. They're on it all the time. Oh, they get hit, knocked around, and sometimes they're licking a wound. Oh, poor me, but they snap out of it real quick. We got to go. I knew those ones. I've been around them. I've grown up with him, hallelujah. He's graced me. I've walked amongst them, hallelujah. And more importantly, by the grace of God with me, I marked them. Marked them. I thank the Lord. He gave me discernment to see that there were ones that they knew the truth, but they didn't have that perfect love. It still was at times about them as opposed it's about him. I wasn't amongst those that were relying on themselves to finish the race. They were relying on him to finish it. Praise God. And I'll tell you what a peace and joy to hang around those kinds of folks. And I'm hanging around them now, praise God. So wonderful. But you see, Paul's gospel is what moves you down the race course. It's not your emotion. It's not your feeling. It's not how religious you are. It's not your knowledge. It's the word of his grace. The word of his grace will bring you the joy of believing. He'll put a joy before you, just like there was a joy before him that he endured the cross. There'll be a joy in believing this. There'll be a joy to suffer together with Jesus. Amen? There'll be a joy, hallelujah, as the word of God is written in your life. When you come up to these things that truly would have wiped you out, or sometimes you think, oh, it has, but no, joy. Joy cometh in the morning. Oh, yes. And it's always there, and it's always full. Praise be to God. Paul's gospel grows you up. That's furtherance. That's progress. Because it's the gospel, as we're rejoicing, of all grace and full grace and grace for grace. It's winning Christ as bridegroom grace. That's a grace saint. Matter of fact, we're all grace saints. Everybody was saved by grace. We know that. But when you talk about full grace, you don't stop. You just go on. You get knocked around. You get a little down from time to time, but it ain't long. You look to him and he's so beautiful, we're running. Now this is clear to the light. And I thank God it's clear that how special and wonderful and valuable this gospel that was hidden, yet now it's revealed to us. It's all powerful. This gospel is all powerful. Because it's him. It's Christ. It's full of grace and truth. And it's in all of its fullness, and it's in all of its power, because he sent us the Holy Ghost to receive it all, to understand it, and to guide us into it. See, you can have an understanding, but then you have to be guided into it. It's a journey. It's a journey of he must increase and I must decrease. And knowledge puffeth up, but love edifies. There's always that buffeting, praise God, that goes on all the time. He'll reveal, but then I'll tell you what, he knows. Oh yeah, now we're going to experience the revelation. And you're going to experience that how? If you're going to experience it with him, it's going to be lowly. We're on the mark. Now, it's all powerful because the word of his grace is all powerful. The word of his grace is what builds you up, the masterpiece for him. The word of his grace, praise God, builds the wife for the Lamb, gives you an inheritance, the inheritance of jointly ruling and reigning together with Jesus Christ. The inheritance, praise God, and the glory to him to be glorified together with Christ Jesus. All by the word of his grace. What a full joy it brings, amen? See, it wasn't Paul the vessel. It wasn't Paul the vessel. He wasn't bragging about, well, when I come to you physically, oh no. It's not my presence that's so special and needful. Do you know there's a lot of Christians that think that their presence is so special and needful? God forbid any of us think that way. Huh? Come on. That it's got to be me? Paul was never like that. He loved, and he loved the word of God through the vessels of the Lord. He loved to be ministered to. He loved that those that would come and give him the gospel. He loved Cephas, he said, and Apollos. He said, quit comparing us. We preach the word of his grace. Praise God. Any vessel that preaches his gospel is what the benefit is. That's the whole point. That was the highlight, in a way, another highlight of highlights of camp. Those vessels that he, the word of his grace, raised up. Amen. Amen. that fed upon that, that are partakers of Paul's grace. They came, were anointed, and poured forth that anointing upon those that would believe. Amen. How wonderful. Now, once again, the treasure is in the earthen vessel. The treasure is Paul's gospel, because it's the ultimate mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that's why we follow Paul as he followed Christ. Praise the Lord. I'm very, very thankful. I'm thankful that the Lord can reveal to our hearts what a man Paul was. Let the Spirit read to you the word of God, the testimony of Paul, the heart of love for mercy and grace that never stopped, that Paul never wanted to be magnified. All he wanted to do was magnify the Lord. That he was bold and he was proud of the gospel that God had given him. He knew there was nothing else. There was nothing to compromise. But that again wasn't Paul. That was this gospel. That was the treasure and is the treasure of eternity. But for Paul's sake, it was the treasure of Paul. It was his treasure. That's how personal it is. So, Paul's gospel is what delivers, if you will, the ecstasy to the bridegroom. That's how valuable this is. The ecstasy to God is Paul's gospel. It's going to deliver that to him. That's why it says only in Paul's writings, for the good pleasure of his will. Amen. It doesn't talk like that anywhere else in the Word of God. This is the intimate stuff. This is how he's going to get it through to those that aren't going to be uptight and stuffy and too prude. Seriously. To understand what he's talking about. I don't think our Lord is a prude. Were you here on the Gentile bride studies? That stuff was crazy. There was stuff going on there that was, man's eyes, downright shameful. But those were the treasures to God. Those are the ones he was after. And if you don't see that that's you, you have missed it. Because you're that ornery scoundrel. You're that hussy. That Jesus said, oh, I've got to have her. I have an insatiable one for her. Now, that's why the progress, the furtherance of this, as we read here, joy of faith. Aren't you thankful you believe the Word of God? Doesn't the Word of God bring you joy? You know, there's a lot of people that the Word of God brings them fear. Word of God makes them down, makes them feel guilty because they don't take Paul's grace. The word of his grace always lifts me up. Always. It can't do anything but. It's all encompassing. It's the whole armor of God. What can penetrate you when you've taken the whole armor of God? Even when I turned around, that armor's still there. Oh, yes. Now, Paul's gospel finishes the race with a full joy. The Word of God says that. It's a full joy. It's bubbling over because you're delirious like David with the mercy and grace of God. That's why he could say that about his heart panting. We have to receive that those were the testimonies of those that were on fire really on fire for God. It wasn't because of their faithfulness. It was that they were full of faith in the faithfulness of God for their life. They were full of faith in the grace that was always there. And when you have that, you are delirious. You are happy. You're not sitting there worrying about what you do or what you did. You're thankful for what he finished. You're rejoicing, praise God, in the victory that he's already given you. Now, do you see why we could never praise him enough? I could never lift up my hands, my voice enough. Thank you, Jesus. Now, this is why we go on enduring hardness, because we're full of joy in believing him. Yeah. Life ain't easy. It's not. But I thank God. In Paul's gospel, I count it all joy. It's all joy. Because you see it in the word of God, but not just here. I see it in here. I see it in everything I experience. Praise God. My downsetting, my uprising, huh? My thought afar off. And that means my successes and my failures. How could he be joyful in that? Because of the word of God. Amen. Amen. See, the word never changes. Knowing with gladness that the temporal sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us, how could we not be overflowing in joy? Praise his name. Now, hang on here, because it even gets better. Because we come to the conclusion of just these little two verses that are so just packed with glory. And it says here, he knows that I shall abide, continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Why? That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me, by my coming to you again. It's about rejoicing more abundant. It's always about the much, the more rejoicing. Amen. This literally means that your glorying may be exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. The most abundant glorying, the most exceeding abundant glorying above all we ask or think, we all know that that can truly happen in one place and one abiding, and that's abiding in Paul's gospel. That's it. Your rejoicing is not going to be more exceeding abundant above all we ask or think if it's in any other gospel. It'll go up, it'll go down, it'll be predicated on how you feel. Yep. How good was the music that day, huh? Did I feel it? How was the things that are going on around me this week? Was the Lord really working for my life? I didn't see it. I'm still sick. God forbid. Brothers and sisters, the most abundant glory continues through Paul's gospel. Always. It can't be anything else. Now, with this too, there's one more thing. I can honestly say there's something I never saw in here before, but yet, once again, it's something we already know. Isn't that something about the Word of God? When you know the truth, he shows you something that you've never seen, but you've known. He shows you something that you've never seen, but you've been waiting for it. Hallelujah, another exceeding glory that maybe we'll see it again. This next statement, for me, as he says there, as Paul says, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. By my coming to you again. Now remember, we said that this wasn't about, in a sense, Paul's physical appearing. We just kind of had the word of God show us that it wasn't talking about that. That there is another layer here. And that layer is all because of that word coming. For those who have kind of studied the Greek a little bit, that word is parousia. At my coming, parousia. The word parousia in the New Testament refers to one thing. It refers to the coming of the Lord. So what Paul is saying here, that your rejoicing and my rejoicing would be exceeding abundant at the coming of the Lord. So again, what company is going to be that abundant rejoicing company that's going to be exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think of rejoicing that are going to be rejoicing with Paul? We know it's the bridal company. This is what he's speaking of. Stay with me. This is the bridal company, because we know that the innumerable multitude doesn't have this exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think rejoicing at the coming of the Lord, because the Lord, it says, has to wipe the tear from their eye. They're not part of what Paul is speaking of here. Now let's go on. That word parousia is found 24 times in the New Testament. All right? The number 24 is the number of the priesthood. Now I want you to think about that company of the priesthood, the 24 elders. Amen? The 24 elders, where do we see them? We see them round about the throne. The full overcomers in the Old Testament. We rejoice in that. And yes, we rejoice in that the 24 elders are the full overcomers in the Old Testament. I see that. I'm thankful I see that. I rejoice in that I see that. Amen. Praise be to God. And I thank God for whatever people see in the truth. But I thank the Lord. There's a perfect pattern that shows forth. And once again, it'll show forth it right here as we allow the Lord to speak. Now, how are they seen at the coming of the Lord, these 24 elders, these full overcomers in the Old Testament? Well, Hebrews tells us who they are. They're the cloud of witness. Those are the cloud of witness. All right? Go on over to 1 Thessalonians 4. We love this portion of Scripture. And this is speaking of the coming of the Lord. This is speaking of that first trump. And as we see there in verse 15, Paul says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." Notice, it's by the word of the Lord. It's not by Paul. "For we which are alive and remain." Paul was always expecting to be alive and remaining unto the coming of the Lord. He always believed in his heart, not only to be alive, but to be a remaining, that in a sense he would be upon this earth, in a sense, in a living state when Jesus would return. That's what he was looking for and longing for. "Unto the coming of the Lord," it said, "but those that are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them." So there we see the dead in Christ rise first. "Then we which are alive and remain get up there with them." And where? "In the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." So we see that that cloud, the clouds as it's speaking of there, it's not speaking of these clouds here. We know that that is those full overcomers in the Old Testament. How do we know that too? Praise be to God. Think about all of the tradition of the Jewish wedding. When the bridegroom comes to get his wife, amen, Tammy? Who's with him? The friends of the bridegroom. That's why John the Baptist, he's the friend of the bridegroom. Because John the Baptist in his place, praise God, was not going to be in that company of the bride. But again, it was showing, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, that this would be for us, that we would see, praise God, through the scriptures how perfect the word of God is. It's divine. It's in an exact order. It never moves. And here comes the bridegroom with his friends. Well, he's got friends like Moses, and he's got friends like David, and he's got friends like Ruth. And oh, what a cloud that has been witnessing to us. Amen. Their testimony and how mighty it's been, and witnessing to us who believe. The type and shadow. God wrote the word of God through them for us to meet him in the air. Now, here we go. The friends of the bridegroom will be present when he goes and seizes his bride away. When he takes her, to meet him in the air. The Apostle Paul will be part of the company of the bride. Amen. He had the bridal message, praise God. He said about his crown, not unto me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So we know that Paul is in this precious company that is known as the bride. Specifically, Paul will be of those that we see of those seven churches. He'll be of the church of Smyrna. Because those are the ones that died in faith in first love that are asleep. That we just read about in 1 Thessalonians 4, that those are asleep. We won't prevent them that are asleep. The dead in Christ shall what? Rise first. So think about what Paul's saying here. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Parousia, at my coming again to you. Anew. Huh? Anew. It's coming together. Praise his name. Now, just like Brother Hill would say, remember when he come out here and get a little bit real kooky in the spirit? He said, I think old Brother Copley's going to come right out over here. Duluth. Whoosh. Where'd he get that? Right here. Because the dead in Christ shall rise first. I sincerely believe that the intent here in this passage, Paul is saying the same things to the Philadelphia saints, encouraging these ones and encouraging you and me. Be ready. Be ready. When that trump sounds, I'm rising up. I'm rising up. We will see Paul at the beginning of the Lord's day. As Paul says, at the Lord's coming. I coming to you again means anew, anew, anew. And that means a glorious body anew. See, when Paul sees them again, here, it's anew. Don't you love Brother Paul? I thank God for him every day. I really do. The wicked man, he taught me that I am to truly see the grace and mercy and the magnificence to win my beloved bridegroom as my own. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Isn't that awesome? Thanks be to God. And I'm grateful. I believe that because the Lord tells us these things. I believe that because I believe that there's an excitement in our Lord and Savior that reveals these things to us. And are you looking for that day? Are you looking for that time? Those ones we've loved so much that have gone on. Amen. I just wonder someday, are we going to be gathered in here and we're going to just see this company, you know, right? And we maybe just say one, oh, and then, psh. What are you thinking about, huh? What do you think about during the day? Anything better than that? There isn't anything. Because that's real. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed. Praise his name.